the greatest thing to me that I love is hearing the way that you honor the artist that you have on.
Stories make the world go round. They capture our minds, pull at our hearts, and inspire change, growth, and development.
It's just your genuine human appreciation on a deep, like, soul level for what artists do. This, your podcast is really dope.
I'm your host, Cello, and welcome to Bedroom Beethoven's, the podcast where we discover some of the preeminent music producers and entertainers of our time, and I turn them into storytellers.
What's up? This is J-Rock, and I'm right here. I'm chilling on the Bedroom Beethoven's podcast. That's what it is. Let's go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 174 of the podcast. Follow me as we head back down to the Dirty South. My guest this week is...
Well, for those who don't know, and I'm pretty sure it's a lot of people because we just found out it's 8 billion people in the world, you know? So my name is TM88, multi Grammy nominated, multi-platinum producer. Yeah, that's pretty much, you know, the logistics.
So you're ready to talk about Uzi and EXO for 30 minutes straight. Let's get started. No, I'm fucking with you. I'm messing with you.
That's my boy, though. That's my boy.
You came up and leave because you call a nigga cheap. Every single night we burn sage because we toxic. Mushrooms got us outside our bodies. So used to me swallowing, now you turn her rotten. Anytime I leave out on tour, don't be plotting. Every time I'm leaving out the door, she talk fights. Just make sure you're holding me down when I fall out your sight. I go up for Grammys, been by this shit international. Whatever you do, just stay true and show passion. When you talk, be precise.
I took a flight for the paddock. You said, babe, you're so dramatic, I guess. Anything you want, boy, forget it. You just make me feel. I took a chance and you grabbed it. You said, don't worry.
When you really get to know the full story behind your favorite music producer, it sparks a deeper understanding and connection to them. 2 days before I conducted this interview, TM88 got notification along with the rest of the world that he would be nominated for a slew of Grammys. And just shy of 2 months prior, he welcomed his son into the world. So needless to say, he's having a pretty good year thus far. But to get behind the mentality of the hits, to really get a feel for his path, his struggles, in order to celebrate these successes, we take a deep dive into his life and thought processes. But before we get to that, just like TM88 is doing with his Discord, we're building out a community where you can write to me, talk to me, get shows early, get some perks. Head on over to patreon.com/bedroombeethovens, and for as little as $2, you can show some love and keep the show ad-free. Keep it pure. You know, this is a passion project. We do it for the culture, not for the gram, bringing you these stories, so if you find value in them, I'd appreciate the love. And also bedroombeethovens.com is the website, and you can hit me up on socials as well. But without further ado, as we wrap up this year in the final few weeks, enjoy my conversation with the one and only TM88. You're a new dad, right?
Yeah. Well, second time over. Yeah, but new dad right now.
And the music doesn't stop. The beat you made while you were in the hospital 6 weeks ago, please tell me that beat wasn't trash, because of the moment in time and how special that time was surrounding that beat. Are we going to hear that beat someday?
Oh, man, I ain't going to lie. The beat that I was making, DJ Khaled happened to call me like right before like we got word that, you know, it was time, you know, go time or whatever. He was like, man, you still working, bro? And I'm like, bro, I'm always working. Like, it's nonstop with me, you know? So he was like, I got this idea, 2 songs. Can you help me out with this? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. You know what I'm saying? So I got my boy to bring my my laptop up there and started working on the record. It haven't came out yet, but Khaled, he loved the beat, you know, and with the help of my team too, because I had to, like, when it was go time to have my son, it was one of those moments where it was like, okay, I know I got to stop, so let me call them real quick send them what I have, and then, you know, I can fix whatever, you know, afterwards type shit. And yeah, the beat was super dope, and I can't wait for everybody to hear it. It definitely wasn't trash. You know, I would be the first person to be like, yeah, I ain't gonna lie, I had to delete it. Because this beat, it was kind of ass, but, you know, it's all good. It was dope. It was super dope. And the experience, too, was just like, bro, my thoughts was everywhere, bro. Like, you know, and, you know, I'm like, dang, my son finna be born. I gotta, you know, Khaled just hit me. He hit me right before, you know, it happened. So it was like, he don't even know that my son is about to come right now. And I'm like, bro, damn, man, I really want to make sure I can make Khaled happy, you know what I'm saying, with the product. And also, you know, enjoy this moment, too, at the same time. So I was able to do both by the, you know, blessings of God, you know.
That's a Herculean effort, man. That's awesome.
Hey, man, it don't stop, bro. Like, you will look back months later, you know, when, you know, Khaled have something coming out. And it's like, dang, I could have been on there, you know, if I would have just took the time out. You know, most people, you know, when they're waiting on their kids to come, you know, it's more like they're just in the hospital and they're not doing nothing else. It's just this, you know. And my plan was to just play the game the whole time, you know. Had my portable TV screen. You can hook up the video game to that. All you got to do is plug it up to an outlet or whatever. Super simple. And cool, you know. That's, I was just planning on playing 2K, Madden, and Tom Clancy games the whole time. And Khaled gave me that call, man, and it just, you know, put me right back in work mode. So, you know, even a lot of people, I want to say one thing to a lot of people too, like, you know, man, music is not a 9-to-5 job. You know, this is a 24-hour grind. You can get a phone call went to sleep at 4:50, and you can get a phone call at 5:10. That can be the call. If you miss it, could have changed your life.
It's funny you say that, because Eminem once said that he doesn't subscribe to that. He says that he approaches music like a 9-to-5.
He has done it all, you know, and he's in a position to where he can. And I don't know when did he start approaching it as a 9-to-5. But I mean, later in a lot of artists and producers and engineers, they tend to, you know, treat it more like a 9-to-5. Like, I'm up at this time and I'm gonna shut it down at this time. You know, me, I'm still grinding. You know, I'm trying to build my catalog and get it, you know, the best as possible. You know, I have changed my workflow a lot. You know, I don't press about trying to make 30 beats a day, or like 20 beats, 15 beats a day, 10 beats a day. You know, I mean, you know, the most right now as we speak that I'm probably able to grind out maybe 8-9 beats a day, but all of them don't be fully finished. You know, I come back to them, you know, tomorrow, the next day. And, you know, me and my team, we work on them. Sometimes I lay down ideas, you know, to send off to my team so they can, you know, add their ideas, and then we can, you know, come back together and be like, okay, what we got to do now, you know, like, what's next type shit. So, you know, I mean, I feel like some people do approach it, you know, and I do be around, like, even like Gucci Man, like, he, you know what I'm saying, he works out. He is the reason I started working out, because I saw him get out of jail. And he was small again, but we all know, like, you know, a lot of people go to jail and they get small because, you know, they don't be eating the food. Some people get bigger because, you know, they're eating all the time. But, like, you know, I saw him, like, it was me, him, and Murder Beats. And, you know, we was in Miami at Gucci's crib, one of his cribs, and, you know, that he had a studio at. And he was just like, yeah, man, I do this and that. And we saw it, bro. He was pulling up on us at 7 a.m., 8 a.m. in the morning. But he was already up at 6 working out, you know. And, you know, he had his assistant have the breakfast there and everything by like 9 o'clock a.m. You know, me and Murder working, we waking up probably like 10, 10:30, you know, and it's back to work, you know. And Gucci, he'll work at this time, he was working all day till about, you know, 9, 10 o'clock, and then he's gone. But he was already up from 6 a.m., you know? So it just depends on the scheduling and what you got going on. And how you want to approach music yourself, you know?
Well, it's crazy. Like, so this podcast is called Bedroom Beethoven's, but your start was even lower than that. You were a closet Beethoven.
Yeah, man. I started in the closet and then moved to my mom's hallway. She had a hallway. We had a hallway. I said she had a hallway. I lived with her. So, like, yeah, we had a hallway that had, like, a little, like, nook type of thing, and I just set the laptop up there and, you know, banged out right there. Majority of my start was in the closet, man. And I used to use the t-shirts and stuff as people, you know, amp me up, you know, keep me going. I felt like I was in a booth, you know, and the sound just was like, it wasn't too echoey, you know what I'm saying? I was just getting that right sound for my snares and stuff at the time, even though I was trash, you know, at first. But, you know, you work and you keep working and to get better.
But this is in that small town that's near that river called Chattahoochee. We're in Eufaula right now, right?
That's crazy. You know about Eufaula. That's where my grandma and my dad is from, Eufaula, Alabama. And, it's a small town, but it's a lot of great people down there, man. You know, from a time where, you know, the whole neighborhood was able to give you a whipping, you know, if you doing something wrong down the street, you know, somebody grandma able to pick you up by your shirt and drag you to the house, you know? So, you know, I mean, I got a lot of, I learned a lot being there. I got to see both sides. You know, when I stayed with my grandma, it was project living, you know, brick homes. Everybody home looked the same. But, you know, I'm not going to say that I was just in the worst projects of all. I felt like we had for the time, I felt like that was a great way to live, you know, like, I mean, we had the church. We had everything going on there, but I definitely wasn't making beats when I was down there. I didn't start making beats until I moved to Atlanta. And I would say I moved to Atlanta in 96. And I probably didn't make my first beat until 2001.
So your cousin who introduced you to beat making, where's he now?
Oh, he's around. I see him all the time. Like we hang out. You know, he's he got his own heating and air service. He doing real well. You know, running a lot of apartment complexes and stuff like that. He's the man. You know, and do a lot of celebrity homes, heating and air and stuff like that. When I raised up in my position and I'm like, okay, you do this, well then let's try to, you know, get you into people home because everybody need heating and air. You know, he had already went to school for it and I'm like, bro, I can throw you some alley-oops on my side too, you know. Even though he don't be needing it, his business is thriving. He doing real good, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, he's still around, man. That's my boy, man. I thank him every time like he's over here. We might get to drinking or something, or he might be drinking and I'm making beats. And it's like, he's like, man, bro, your shit just sound crazy. Like, and I'm like, bro, I got to thank you for even taking the time out to help somebody do something that you know how to do it. But it's like, man, I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to do it too. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not really trying to sit down and teach somebody how to do it. Like, you know, that's how a lot of people think. And for him to, you know, take the time out and help me with that first beat, man, it was life-changing, man. And of course it was in Atlanta, but it was in a small city beside of Atlanta, and it's called Riverdale, Georgia. And that's where, you know, me, Waka Flocka, in a county called Clayton County. And that's where
Slim's from.
Yeah, Slim. And, you know, it's a bunch of people. And then, you know, right by where my neighborhood was Old National Highway. And, you know, that's where 2 Chainz, you know what I'm saying? And everybody was, you know, coming up on that side too. So it was an abundance of talent, like, around, you know, just the area that I was in. And, you know, they call ours, like, Metro Atlanta. You know, it's not really in Atlanta, but it's right beside it.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm paying attention to kind of, like, how people are living their life and the occupations they have. Like, I'm looking at your cousin, and you just talked about your grandma, and I think your father was there, too. Your mom joined the military, then there's you. And that's crazy because, like, your mom's got stability. She's got a steady paycheck, but her money depends on her rank or who her commanding officer is or where she's stationed. I mean, she could find herself working for a jerk. She could be in a base in a state that she hates, wishing she was a higher rank. But you, on the other hand, you don't have that safety net of a steady paycheck, but you can also make as much money as you want, be where you want to be, and basically your success is only defined by how hard you want to work. So you're trading stability for risk, and it paid off.
I'm a firm believer in once you believe in something, you should go for it. We only live once, man. Like, and you kind of look at things and you see stuff going on and you see how people was living before, you know, you got your shine and your start. And it's like, you know, certain paths you don't want to go down. I'm a god in the hood, nigga. And, you know, like, even as teenagers, you know, we wasted a lot of time. Well, some of us wasted a lot of time hanging around people we didn't need to be around, people that really didn't want to see you win and stuff like that. And I'm like, man, I'm just going to chase my dream, bro. Young five, they sound like he's 10 feet tall. Papa make a nigga jump a 10-foot wall.
Young five, they sound like he's 10 feet tall. Papa make a nigga jump a 10-foot wall.
Like, I want to do music. And, you know, people at the time was telling me I sucked, you know. And I'm like, okay, I know I can get better. I just got to put the work in, you know, and just bet on myself. I was able to see my mom in the military. She was gone a lot at one point. Like 2 years, she was, like, in Germany. And I didn't see her for, like, a year and a half, 2 years or whatever. And, you know, I was just like, okay, I see how this is going. I want to get to a point where, and she was always working all the time too. So, and I was like, man, I want to get to a point where I can go, I can do what I love, but also get to a point when you know, I can, when I have kids, I'm able to, you know, be around them a lot. You know, even though my mom and them was around a lot, it's just, you, we all know, you know, the parents that had to work 2 and 3 jobs and stuff like that. So, you know, you kind of want to, you know, do things a little different. And I don't like working for people. I don't want to struggle no more. You know, I don't, you know, and I got a recipe. Like, I know how to make beats. I know how to talk to people. I know how to, you know what I'm saying? I know how to, this is what I do. You know what I'm saying? I studied this, like how a quarterback studies the playbook. I studied making beats and people and, you know, just genres and just everything about music. I study it, like, you know what I'm saying? Because when I'm in these situations, I need to know how to maneuver. Like, you know, if I don't know how to do the drums on this pop track, I need to know how to do something else. You know what I'm saying? So it's a full-time grind, man. Like, even just trying to balance out life with music.
Not only that, but I think you heard the best 6-word advice that anybody can ever tell you. You're too talented to be broke.
Yeah. Yeah. When you first get in, you got to kind of just work with, you know, work how the chips fall, you know, because you got to get in where you fit in. You know, I didn't charge people for a long time. Like, you know, coming up, like even before I got in the game, like I was giving out beats, you know, to people in the neighborhood or different artists around the city and stuff like that. And then, you know, I used to sell my beats for $40 online, like $30. You can come get 5 beats for $20. You know, that was going to be my way to eat dinner that night, you know? So that's why I don't even judge people that, you know, sell beats online and stuff. I never did, because you never know their situation. And, you know, some people don't know other ways on, you know, getting their music heard or beats heard type stuff. So definitely it's a give and take. My first beat was that I got paid for a lot of money at the time was $5,000, and it was Waka. Shit came back full circle. Like, bro, me and Waka used to hang out in the neighborhood. We used to walk to other neighborhoods to talk to girls and everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll be outside, we'll have boxing gloves, we'll be playing basketball, playing Mario Kart inside the house, all of this stuff. Like, before everybody was famous, before we knew anybody was going to rap or anything, we used to be freestyling over there at Walker's crib, you know? You know, I used to kick a little freestyle here and there back in the day, you know? But I figured out that wasn't my lane. And I just was like, I'm going to make the beats for everybody in the neighborhood. But, you know, like, I gave out free stuff all the time. And Waka was the first artist to pay me $5,000. And, you know, at this time, they was only giving producers $1,500. You know what I'm saying? Anywhere from $500 to $2,500 was a good budget for incoming producers at the time.
Yeah, man. I think about the start in Eufaula and kind of where you moved to and kind of that journey. Like, you know, those are literally like small cities where, yeah, you have to sell drugs, rap, or play ball. Like, there's a Baltimore Raven, Courtney Upshaw. He's from Eufaula. He won the Super Bowl 10 years ago.
Oh, my God. Hold on. Upshaw. What? Bro, I know a lot of Upshaws. That's what's so crazy about that. When you grow up in small towns, everybody know you by last names. You know, like, oh, that's the Simmons, or that's the Upshaws, or that's, you know what I'm saying? That's how it was. Like, and oh my, I need to ask. I gotta ask my dad.
He escaped.
Yeah,
he made it.
But I'm not gonna lie. Those small towns, they trap a lot of people. You know, like. You know, it's only so much that you can do. It's either working at the cotton plant or the chicken plant, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, those are like the top jobs to get when you get out of school. Like, you know what I'm saying? Trying to become the manager at the chicken coop, you know what I'm saying? The chicken plant. And it's like, bro, my imagination was so big. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, bro. I watched so many movies to get out of my situations I was in. Like, yeah, at the time, of course, I can look back and be like, man, living in the projects, man, it was fun. It was super fun. Like, you know, it was so many kids. It was so much going on. It was a lot. But, you know, you'll have a lot of them times where you be in your grandma's crib and, like, you know, she telling you to sit down all the time and you like, I can't wait to get out and see the world. You know what I'm saying? And like, bro, I used to watch Home Alone. I used to watch, bro, ABC at the time used to have all the movies come on and stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? And bro, all those movies, like kid movies and stuff like that, used to take me out of my environment and make me feel like I was them, you know? And that's a big part of my imagination. That's how I make a lot of my stuff. Like, I imagine, and, you know, I got to imagine this feeling. Like, I need to feel, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of my stuff is off of feeling. Like, if I hear something, it can be the smallest sound in the beat. If I hear it, it might be something that remind me of when I was younger and how I was feeling. You know what I'm saying? When I saw, like, I don't know if you know this show called Ralph and the Red Motorcycle. Look it up. It was super dope. Like, it was a mouse, and like, they had like a little mouse hole where they had their little family in there, but it was in a home with this family or whatever. And the kid, you know, go to school, wherever he'll go. And it was this red motorcycle. He'll always get on the motorcycle and drive the toy motorcycle around the house doing, you know, finding food and all different kind of stuff he was doing in the crib. So like, shows and movies like that always just had my, you know, piqued my interest every time. Like, and I'm like, bro, I gotta get out of here and do movies. Or do music. I gotta do something. Like, you know, you'll see shows and movies that was based off of like being in Seattle or being in New York or, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, bro, I want to go to the Big Apple. You know, I come from the era when it's like, it was a dream to go to New York, you know? It was a dream to go to LA. Like, now, I mean, people dream about it now, but, bro, you can just catch a flight now. Like, I mean, you could catch a flight back then, but people really wasn't just catching flights. You know what I'm saying? Back then, like that, like the early 90s, flights was being taken a lot, but people that I knew wasn't taking flights, you know? It was, if you had to go there, you had to drive and you had to have a map.
I think a lot of it too is like, and I don't know, maybe I'm a bad friend, maybe it's human nature, but if I have a best friend come over and he's like, hey, I got $1 million idea, wait until you listen to this, I'm a dreamer, we're going to go to New York, I'm going to be like, man, you know, that idea ain't shit, whatever, I don't know, maybe I'm a bad friend. But when you're on the phone with Little Uzi and he says, yeah, we got to make something epic. When you're at Metro Boomin's townhouse and he says, we're going to corner the game, we're going to take over, you actually do it. These grandiose statements actually happen. When your friends say something, it comes to fruition. I think that's amazing, and it's rare to be a dreamer like yourself, but actually have the action to put these things in motion, and it comes true. It's very rare, I think.
Yeah, bro, and I'm big on speaking things into existence, and that just comes off like trial and error, you know? Like, you'll talk about something so much, and if you put the plan in motion, just put it in the atmosphere and put the plan in motion. Like, bro, it could happen. If you just dream and then don't do anything about it, then nine times out of ten, it might not happen, you know?
For instance, like, you know, so there's this rapper named Razzkaz. He went to high school with a dude who ended up being an Atlanta Falcon. And his first professional gig, he took some of that Falcon money, and he opened up a studio called Patchwork. Boom. Now you have an avenue to get in there because of what this Atlanta Falcon did.
Yeah.
You never saw something like that happen, and now all this timeless music has come out of the studio in Atlanta.
I was going to intern for Patchwork, and I had a good mentor I ended up meeting named Dale Ramsey. He's an engineer. He used to work at Patchwork, and he worked with a lot of artists like NSYNC. Man, his plaque game is crazy, bro. Like, I went to his crib and was like, bro, what, like, how much work do you have to put in to get these, you know? He was like, man, you can get it. You can do it. Like, you put the work in, you can get there. Like, and, you know, at the time, I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But he was just like, you know, I'm gonna coach you up. I'm gonna, you know, just come sit with me every, you know, we picked like what, 3 days out the week, and I just drove to his crib. Me and my best friend, we drove over there and we just sat with him, man. Just, he let me use the studio to kind of make beats. And what he told me was, your sound selection is impeccable. And I didn't understand him at the time. Like, I'm like, for real? He was like, yeah, the way with the sounds that you choose are good. Like, you know, like your beats, your sound selection, that's the main thing. Like, a lot of people don't have good sound selection. So when it comes to like engineers having come getting to mix something, it's like, you know, they can only do so much because of the sound selection choice. You know what I'm saying? Selected choice or whatever. And, you know, I was telling him, like, the reason he started to mentor me is because I told him that I was going to go intern at Patchwork, you know, see, can I, you know, intern up there and make my way in through the industry. I thought that was the way. He like, and he was just like, bro, all they're going to do is have you going to get coffee and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? And before you look up, it's going to be 4 years and you haven't did anything, or you might meet somebody on the job. You know, it's just a big might and if, or you can come sit with me every day or every other day, and I show you what I know. And I took the opportunity just to sit with him every day, you know? And that just reminded me, I got to go see him this weekend. But definitely, bro, like, it's little steps that, you know, I think God opened doors for you. And, like, you know, it's up to you to go through them. Like, he can open the door. It'll be another door right next to it that's kind of cracked open. Or closed, you're going to stand there and keep knocking at the door that's closed, or you're going to go through the door that he opened for you, you know, and at least, you know, see what he got to offer, you know, and it's always something good. You know, it might not be what you want at the time, but it's always something that come out of that.
And I think another good example of like recognizing a door and going through it is like, I heard an interview this week from OJ the Juice Man, and he said that when he was coming up, he wanted Lex Luger to do his beats, and Lex said no. And then a young kid named Metro hit his inbox and was like, yo, I sound like Lex Luger, work with me. And then OJ saw the sound, saw the potential. And it's almost like if Lex didn't turn projects down, Metro wouldn't have been able there to pick up the breadcrumbs and see an opportunity and become as big as he is. All thanks to Lex Luger turning down opportunities.
Right.
I mean, the dude went to Morehouse and dropped out after a semester, saw that door, went through it. That's amazing.
Yeah, and the thing is with Troll, like, bro, when the first time I met bro, like, was in Patchwork. Like, we was in Patchwork. I think Gucci was working on something. And Young Chop, everybody was in there. This one, I don't think this is the first time I met Metro. It might have been, maybe this was, like, the first summer that I met him, though. And Troll was coming in the room, like, bro, I keep telling Gucci, man, like, bro, yo shit. Like, bro, he need to be rapping on your shit. Like, you got some beats on you. And I'm up there working on Fredo. I think it was Fredo, Chief Keef, Lil Reese. Chop was in there. We was working on some stuff or whatever. And that ended up coming out maybe a month or two later. Well, not even a month or two. They released that shit in like 3 weeks or 2 weeks. But Metro, I always remember this day, though. Metro kept, he came, he was like, bro, I'm telling you, and that's just how good of a person Metro is. Like, you know what I'm saying? He on some shit. He could have been in there playing his beats, you know? He was like, bro, I'm telling Gucci, man, like, bro, TM, bro, you need to be fucking with TM. You know what I'm saying? Then, you know, being able to hang around Metro when he was going to Morehouse, and like, bro, he... Like, before he dropped out of Morehouse, he asked all of us, like, bro, do you think it's the right move? Like, we was just like, bro, what, chase your dreams, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? And, bro, look where bro at now. Like, you know what I'm saying? One of the biggest producers that we got type shit. So, man, it's crazy how stuff play out, man. It's unbelievable. I was turned, you know, in the streets, I was turned. Like, you know, we had Walker and Gucci rapping on all our shit. Like, we had, you know, in Atlanta, we was turned. And it was like, I could have been on some shit like, man, I ain't trying to hear what Metro talking about. I ain't trying to hang with bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? When it was at the time, you know, it was people saying, like, why you hanging with Metro? Like, he ain't gonna do nothing but steal your swag. And I'm like, nah, bro, like, I fuck with Metro. Like, that's my boy. Like, you know what I'm saying? And when me and Metro was linking up, we was making crazy stuff. Like, you know, Sonny was linking up with Metro before all of us. But then, you know, like, me and Metro had got a chemistry, and we just started linking up every day making beats. And it was just people in Atlanta like, man, I ain't gonna lie, bro. I don't know why you mess with bro. He gonna steal your swag. But, you know, that's just... people that don't understand, like, you know, where you trying to go in life, and like, and hater vibes, you know? And it's like, bro, like, and just imagine if all of us wouldn't have clicked up, like, we all played an instrumental part in each other's careers. Like, me, Southside, Metro, Sonny, DJ Spins played a super huge part. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it was, you know, people around too at the same time, you know, Mike Will, them, they was already lit doing their thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? They was putting on for the city already. And Sonny was, he was already lit. And like, for him shining his light on us, you know what I'm saying? And man, I thank them every time I see him, bro. Like, you know, and then don't be on some, when I see him, man, thank you, bro. Like, we be in mid-conversation just talking about other stuff or just reminiscing, and I'll just be like, bro, man, just thank you for even, you know, fucking with me, bro. Like, y'all could have messed with anybody else. You know what I'm saying?
As you guys ride that 808 Mafia wave, it's like, and you know, I'm going to use Lex as an example, but not really just the situation. Like, Lex is a legend. He's almost a household name in the rap game. I find it weird that he's on Twitter right now selling beats for $500. A 16 from Uzi is going to cost me $150,000. But a Lex beat right now is $500.
Right.
Like, I know you used to sell beats for $40, so you don't judge anyone. But right now, a SoundCloud rapper can invest $6,000 into themselves and get 12 beats from Lex, a guy who produced for Jay-Z and Kanye West. He's legendary.
Right.
But I just kind of feel like when you're too transparent about your insecurities as a producer, instead of saying, hey, you know, if anyone needs a beat, DM me. But to say $500 for a beat, let's work, I almost think you're devaluing yourself publicly. I don't know how you feel about that.
I didn't even know he said that. Man, like, it's just, music is different now, man. Like, it's so many people making beats, right? And it's like, you'll go through a lot of phases, you know, a lot of times where artists not calling you. And I'm not even talking about Lex. My situation, like, bro, I'm one of the littest producers in the world. Like, and, you know, I go through times where I'm not getting any phone calls for beats, you know, because I charge, like, bro, I want 50, 60,000 for my beats. You know what I'm saying? And, of course, that's the starting point. But, you know, of course, they talk you down. And, you know, you gotta go with what you can get as far as, like, but I don't go under 20,000. And then if I have to go under 20,000, it's just because I'm trying to make sure somebody else involved get paid, because I know, you know what I'm saying, how this shit go. And most of the time, if I gotta go under 20, I just choose if I wanna work with the artist, just, you know, and I get a lot of that stuff on the back end. Like, I choose, like, okay, well, nah, it's not worth me working with the artist because I don't believe in the music. Now, if I believe in the music, then, you know, if they don't got the budget, I just go ahead and be like, man, just rap on the beat, put it out, and let me get, you know, whoop, whoop, whoop percentages on, you know, the back end and stuff like that. So, bro, it's so many people making beats now, and it's people that, you know, sound like Lex. It's people that sound like me, and it's people that sound like Sizzle and Metro or Mike. Where Mike Will, them sound so distinctive, they can't really even. You know what I'm saying? They don't. It ain't too many people that sound like Mike Will them, because, you know, they do a lot of different things too. But sometimes, bro, some people be having them calls don't be coming in, bro, and you got to make what you can make. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know his situation. And Lex is a legend, bro. Like, Lex, one of the guys that opened the door for us, you know? And, you know, like, I feel like that's more like an artist thing, too. Like, artists don't want to pay now. It's only a select few artists that don't trip on the payments. You know, with my dealings with artists, you know, and I'm not going to speak on every artist, but the artists that do pay, I can speak on them, because Future, Young Thug, Drake, DJ Khaled, you know what I'm saying? They're going to go ahead and pay you out. You come up with a set number, and, like, you know, I judge it off of, you know, my relationship. It's just, you know, if in Future, you know, when I get on his album, he getting 4 or 5 beats. So I'm not going to charge him $60,000 for all of them. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you got to just know when to give and take. And, yeah, man, Lex is legendary, bro. I don't know. Maybe it's something, a catch-22 to it or something.
Well, I mean, DJ Khaled is a legend, too. Again, I'm going to use him as an example, but there's no shade. Because it's a beautiful situation. But he released a video for Beautiful. The YouTube video has 7.6 million views. The Spotify tally sits at 28 million. Yet there's no mention of you in the video description. There's not a text overlay in the video. They don't even link to your shit. So let's say DJ Khaled pays. You get a paycheck. But you don't get any of that clout. I know you don't care about clout, but you don't get any of it. Because unless you read the liner notes, you have no idea that you produced that track. Let alone 20% of the whole God Did album. Right. So a producer who cares about clout, or maybe something that can up their value, they might be in their feelings, regardless if that's the standard or not.
I love Khaled, bro. Like, he motivate me every day, you know what I'm saying? And, like, bro, you know, I might, he might just text me sometimes, like, you know, hope you're doing good, bro. Woo-de-woo. Like, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I don't have no problems with it, because I know how it go. Like, you know, I'm not an artist on the record, so it's not gonna, you know, that it's not gonna link to any of my YouTubes or, you know, any of my artistry type shits, like, that don't, you know, that has something to do, that don't have anything to do with production, you know. And I have an artist deal with Capitol, you know, and I can release songs and stuff like that. But so I know how it go. You know, a lot of times you don't be knowing who making a lot of these beats, you know, like even from before we started, you know, making beats, all we knew was like Timbo, Pharrell, Polo the Don, Beats by the Pound, and, you know, just countless others, 3-6 Mafia, you know. It's just sometimes, man, you're not going to get all those. Khaled had, like, he posted on his socials, you know what I'm saying? He always added me, you know, he always tried to, you know, make sure I got the credit.
I think the most beautiful thing is it's essentially an R&B record. And it might open the door for you to do a country record. And then you win a Grammy for the best country record. And then you realize, man, it was country all along.
Right.
Listen, Machine Gun Kelly, come February, could win a Grammy for the best rock album over Elvis Costello and Ozzy Osbourne. Stranger things have happened.
Man, I'm telling you, bro, like, all I need, man, Khaled threw me a major alley-oop. You know what I'm saying? Like, being those beats. I make those all the time, you know, but people don't pick. They don't ask for them, like, so I don't send them to everybody, you know. And I'm just trying to break down other doors right now, and you know, Khaled still throwing me alley-oops, man. I texted him the other 2 days ago and was like, bro, can you get me in touch with such and such? I'm trying to get on their album. Whoop de whoop. He made a group chat, you know, right then, and was like, such and such, meet such and such, whoop de whoop, gave me a great ass introduction, you know what I'm saying? And shit, man, you know, it's just a blessing to even be in this position, man. You know, you kind of take your alley oops, and then what do you get to choose how you want to dunk the ball this time, you know?
They want to know what's going on in the side.
Oh yeah, shout out Organized Noise too, man. I looked up to them majorly, you know. They made all Outkast beats and stuff like that.
So, oh yeah. You and them were in the South on Boomerverse, which is one of my all time favorite Big Boy beats.
Yeah, man. Come on, man. That was
I know about you, man. Come on.
I'm out, quit your house and I pull up with a trunk full.
They wanna know what's going on in the south. They wanna know what's going on in the south. In the south. In the south. In the south. Now tell that bitch to keep my name about your mind.
Shout out Corey Moe too. Corey Moe, he was on that record. He did a lot of stuff with UGK, Pimp C, Bun B. Played a lot of the keys and stuff like that for them, like organs and stuff. So
but for as many times as you're nominated and the projects that you are nominated for, I can't see you in 3 months' time not being a Grammy Award-winning producer. It's almost sewed up. I don't want to jinx it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I can't wait, bro. Like, I done been nominated so many times. Like, I don't know how many times I've been nominated. I'm losing count. But not on no cocky shit. I really don't, like, because you like, okay, I'm nominated. But after a while, you like, man, I want to finally win it. You don't want to keep getting your hopes up type shit. So being nominated this time, having two big ones is great. Last year I went number one with Way Too Sexy for the first time. And I thought we was gonna, you know, rack up a whole bunch of awards with that one. You know, we was number one for what, 2 months on the Billboard charts, and then we went number one all radio. It don't matter what it was, rhythm and blues, rhythmic, everything. We was number one radio, everything for what, like maybe 4 months or whatever. I was thinking, you know, I was going to rack up a whole bunch of awards. Drake got nominated a bunch of times and he pulled from the awards. I understand, you know, what he have going on and stuff like that with them. And, you know, so I just looked at it as an opportunity to keep pushing and, you know, use it as fuel and motivation, you know, to get to the next level. And ended up on Khaled album having 3-4 on there. And definitely too, being able to get 5 other producers that signed to me Grammy nominated as well at the same time, you know, is amazing, bro. It's bigger than, you know, to me being nominated by myself. You know, it's like when I signed them, I asked them, like, what are they trying to do? Like what are your goals and what are you trying to accomplish? Like, you know, other than clout, you know, like, because clout can run out real fast. Like that's a way to get to longevity if you use it in the right way. But if you don't, then, you know, you be up 1 minute and then down for the rest of your life, you know? So like, what are you trying to do? Everybody told me damn near the same thing. They trying to grow, build, get better, practice, stay in the gym. Like, you know, that's one of my main things is like staying in the gym. Like, you know, while everybody's out clubbing and stuff, like, we're in the gym, you know? We're trying to come up with new sounds, new ways to use these sounds. Because if you look at it, man, everybody, like everything we do, like, and I'm not mad, like, but everything we do, literally, like, since I came in the industry, bro, like, everybody takes it and run with it. You know what I'm saying? They take it, run with it, start doing it, and it's in all these beats. And then, you know, of course, we never get the credit for it. And, you know, I'm not even looking for credit. But, like, if we speak on something, people be like, yeah, man, you should be happy. Like, you shouldn't be, like, that's a form of flattery, you know? Like, and I'm like, yeah, it is. But, like, eventually you get to the point, like, man, I have to come up with 20 different styles. You get what I'm saying? Like, in my bag, I got 30, 40 different swags. You know what I'm saying? But that's just constant repetition and having to do it all the time. Like, every year, like, we're 10 steps ahead every year because people, they start trying to make what you made last. And those be beats we made 2 years ago. Like, the Khaled stuff was made at the beginning of the year in February. Yeah, in January, February. It was made in, like, keep going. That beat was made in February. We was in a 12-hour virtual session where we made a whole bunch of beats, and we did that shit for like a month straight. You know what I'm saying? The Beautiful record, I made that in like March. Like, those is like some of the Khaled album was the fastest all these beats came out. You know, Big Time was made in like March or April. No, Beautiful was made in like April. Big Time was made in like March. You know what I'm saying? But Puffin' on Zooties for Future, that beat was 2 years, like a year old before he dropped it. And he didn't rap, and like, bro, he didn't rap on it the month I gave it to him. I gave it to him in March the year before. He didn't rap on it till March the year, a year later. Like, and I'm pretty, like, if anybody talked to him, he'll tell them the same thing. Like, he was like, bro, this is legendary, bro. I'm opening the pack in March this year, but you sent it last year in March. And I'm telling him, like, yeah, that's a flex, but damn, bro. Like, like, man, like, bro, I'm telling you, I be having this heat just waiting on you. Like, but, you know, long story short, it just feels great to have all of them nominated. And, you know, I did what I said I was going to do, you know, and I spoke everything into existence. Like, going back on that, like, you know, we talked about it. I spoke it. We got a group chat, and I tell them, like, bro, stay on the mission. You know, job not finished. We still got a lot of work to do. You know what I'm saying? We send ideas every day, all day. You know what I'm saying? We send different songs from, like, the 60s, 50s, 80s, 90s, 70s. You know what I'm saying? 2000s, early 2000s. Like, you know, how can we get this sound right here? How can we where do we find this snare? Where do we find this this piano, or how to make this piano sound like this or whatever? So it's constant motion, discussions, you know, motivational shit, tips and tricks. We talk about mental health. Like, bro, we somebody might not be feeling it this week. Everybody will make it their mission to hit them up on the side. You know what I'm saying? Or put it in the group chat. Like, bro, we with you. You know, we got you. You know what I'm saying? Take a week off. You know what I'm saying? Get your mental together. We got you. You know what I'm saying? When you come back, it's like you never left.
Yeah, I mean, when you win Grammys and all that, and you achieve that kind of success, you start going to those Hollywood parties, you know, like Travis Scott's taking you. I mean, if we start seeing headlines like TM88's dating Anne Hathaway, that's how that shit happens. You know what I'm saying? you see the Tyler Perrys and the Denzel Washingtons, the next thing you know, like, you wonder why T.I. is in movies with Denzel. It's at those parties. It's stuff like that happens.
Is that those parties, and I want to be able to hit those parties with my label, you know, and, you know, like, we look at each other like we're a group, like a band, you know what I'm saying? Because we got a guitarist, we got a pianist. So it's like, we look at each other like we're a band, and like, we be having sync placements and stuff like that. Everybody able to have their own solo, like, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? I might start the beat, and then we got our other producers that might add in, and then you got the guitarist, he have his solo, and then you got the pianist, he have his solo. You know, we give in them sync placements, we give everybody their own solo. You know what I'm saying? And even when we're making beats together, everybody got their own, like, little part that they did in the beat. Yeah, we might have to fix it a little bit, but everybody have their own part, and only people be knowing is us. The beat be flowing fluently, but other people wouldn't be able to tell that, okay, we had to stop the beat here, let him add something right here. You get what I'm saying? It's just flows, man.
Well, I mean, you got the Discord, you got Crash Dummy, you got the website, all the socials. You're not a hard man to find, but anything else that you want to plug going into 2023 that you want to tell the people about?
Man, we got the Discord, man. Crash Dummy Records Discord, man. It's a Discord for you know, like, producers like me, you know, the underdogs, man. You know, all the underdogs align and link up, and you know, it's a community ran by the community. You know, we picked two, three producers that, you know, that's trying to come up in the game or whatever, that's not really known or whatever. And we made them head of the community, you know, and they're down there with them every day, you know, like, with their struggle, and they're able to understand majority, well, 99% of what everybody's complaining about. I understand because I keep myself, you know, around upcoming producers, not to take from them, more to motivate them, and you know, keep my mind sharp too, so I can, you know what's going on, and make sure I'm not too far up, you know, or whatever. And I always try to relate to them because I've been through it before. Everything that they're going through, I done been there. I have discussions every week, you know what I'm saying, where I bring up, you know, what's big in the rap game now, or the producing game now, is samples, like loops. So it's a lot of loop makers that's super turnout here, but they're still not turned in the industry. You get what I'm saying? With all the rappers and, you know, the labels and stuff like that. But they're super turnt in the producer community. So what I do is I take them, and it's like my own mini podcast where, you know, I bring them up on stage and introduce them, ask them questions on, like, how they got in it, yada, yada, yada. And then people that look up to them, that do the same thing they do, because it's people that's fans of them too. Like, even though they're joining the Discord to see me, but they're also coming in learning, like, it's a learning experience. So, and they get to meet people they normally wouldn't get to meet. Everybody's collabing. You know, something went down in there recently where it was like 30 producers on one beat. That happened in the Discord. You get what I'm saying? Crash Dummy Discord. Everybody go check that out. I'm telling you, You're going to love it. Once you come in there, you're not going to want to leave. I know producers that have their own Discord, and they be in Crash Dummy Discord more than they be in their own Discord. You know what I'm saying? Not, man, I'm telling you, we making a statement, man. I feel like this is the best Discord out. And not just because it's me, just the steps we take to make sure, you know, the community is involved. Like, everybody else's Discord is about them. You know what I'm saying? Crash Dummy Records, yeah, that's the name. But I let it be known that it's more so about the community more than it is about me and Crash Dummy Records. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you just giving people hope, you know, help them dream bigger. You know what I'm saying? You know, bro, it's crazy. And then what else? New website on the way for Crash Dummy. That's going to be very crazy, very interactive. I don't think no producers have done a website the way I'm about to do this one. New projects on the way, new sounds. New everything, bro.
Yeah, I'm going to put all that in the show notes for everybody. And TM88, I think that as successful as you are, there are a lot of people in your orbit that might look at you and think, like, what can he do for me? So I really want to hammer home the point how appreciative of your time I am, connecting with me, sitting down with me. I don't take these encounters for granted. And come 2023, I hope the biggest problem you have is, where am I going to put all these damn Grammy Awards? You know what I mean? So, thank you, man.
Definitely, man. I love doing stuff like this, you know, talking about the journey, you know, especially with cool people like yourself. You know what I'm saying? It was a very dope experience. Like, you just put me on to something when I first met you, you know what I'm saying? Before we got on the call, and that's super dope. And you're the type of people I like to meet, because, you know what I'm saying, it's not just about, you know, what can you do for me? You scratch my back and I scratch your back. That's the type of people I like to meet. You know, I can learn shit from. People can learn from me. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's how we're going to make the world better, man.